The Create and Thrive Podcast, episode 31. Kirsten Devitt from Each to Own on creativity and confidence.
Losing connection with that creativity is really, it gets a lot of people down in creative businesses because you're just like, invoices, I'm drowning in paper when I just want to sit down and make something.
I'm Jess Van Den, and this is the Create and Thrive Podcast. A former school teacher, I turned my handmade hobby into a thriving business, and I also teach other creatives how to do the same. My goal is to help you learn how to turn your creative hobby into a thriving, profitable business. So let's get learning. Hey Thrivers, Jess here. Welcome to the Create and Thrive Podcast for another week. This week, I'm talking to my lovely friend, Kirsten Devitt from Each to Own. Kirsten's been in business for many years now, and she makes beautiful laser-cut jewellery at home. She has her own laser cutter. Serious business. And she is one of the sweetest people you'll ever talk to, and pretty savvy, too, really. She's also really down-to-earth and really honest in this interview about the challenges that creative people face every day, often from within our own minds. So it's really honest interview, and it really touches on a lot of stuff that I think will resonate with you guys, probably things that you struggle with yourself. So I'm so happy that Kirsten came along to chat to me today. It was an honor to chat with her for you. We've had lots of conversations over the years, but we haven't recorded any, so this was a good one. Before I dive into that, just a reminder that you can subscribe to the podcast over on iTunes or Stitcher, and you can also get it to your inbox every week if you head on over to createandthrive.com and sign up for the email updates, and you'll get an email each week telling you when the new podcast is out, and a link to the show notes so you can find all the links and get all the highlights from the show as well. And of course, when you do sign up for the mailing list over at Create and Thrive, you get access to my Handmade Biz Toolkit of free resources to help you grow your handmade business. So make sure you do that if you haven't done that already. Let's dive into this one. It's about almost an hour long, and we cover a lot of ground. We talk about, you know, what is success. We talk about self-confidence. We talk about what it's like to be crafty when you didn't grow up being crafty. Lots of other fun stuff. So thank you so much for being here and listening to this conversation, and I hope you walk away at the end of this feeling inspired and feeling humbled and just relieved that this is, you know, we all struggle. None of us are perfect. None of us have it all together. We were both, Kirsten and I, share ways that we don't have it together in this episode. And I think it's important to realize that and realize, you know, all this beautiful stuff that people put out about, you know, their branding and make their life, you know, their lives might look perfect from the outside. But on the inside, we're all just human beings, and we all have messy bits, and we all have doubts, and we all have beauty and kindness and wonderfulness. So it's a great interview, so I hope you enjoy it. Thanks so much for being here. Now let's dive in to this chat with Kirsten from Each to Own. Hi guys, so today I have the lovely Kirsten Devitt from Each to Own with me to chat about her business journey. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Kirsten.
No worries, Jess.
Awesome to have you here. Kirsten and I have known each other for, gosh, lots of years now.
Yes.
We're both Brisbane girls. So I was so happy when she agreed to come on and chat about her awesome business, which if you haven't heard about before, you're going to know a lot about by the end of this podcast. So let's start with you and your journey so far. Can you take us on a bit of a story, take us on a bit of a journey of your creative career path so far and kind of how you've gotten to where you are?
Yeah, sure. I actually started out in a different strand of creativity. I studied at QUT studying acting a million years ago, And that never panned out so well. I was a bit lazy. can't actually be lazy if you're an actor. You've got to work really hard. Yes. So that didn't work out. But I did love when I was at uni doing the costume modules and the props and all that sort of thing. So I've always been a little bit crafty. I've always liked to do a little bit of craft on the side because I was working then in retail when H2OWN came about. But yeah, so I haven't – I got asked the other day actually whether or not I was crafty as a child and I really wasn't. I had a wonderful grandma who used to do lots of craft because I think back in that generation you just did because you were making things that you needed.
Yeah.
And no, I would just sit for 2 seconds and then I'd be off and to be a horse or a dog or something. So I wasn't creative. I couldn't draw, but something, yeah, when I finished up work to have Clem, who is now 6 years old, to just have a little bit of a break before I went back to the shoe shop when he was born, I just had a bit of time on my hands and I wasn't as busy as I would normally be, even though being a mum is an incredibly busy job. I just sort of at night I started making a few little beaded things and
that's familiar. was
yeah. Well, I mean, I was addicted to Etsy as a shopper. Our house was just full of stuff from Etsy because I loved Etsy. It was a real eye opener for me. And so I would, once I found out that Etsy sold supplies as well, I used to just buy and buy and buy stuff, supplies. And I used to say that my medium when I started out, people would say, "What's your medium?" And I would say, "Oh, glue." My medium was glue. I would just glue things together, glue things on things, glue things, you know, stick them. And I basically was asked by a friend to make some stuff for the Mother's Day stall at their school.
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh, yeah, okay, I'll do that." And then she said, "So you're right for about 300 pieces?"
Oh, my goodness.
Which is, I was thinking when we were talking about business and stuff, this was where I first learnt the lesson that you say yes. And you figure it out later.
Yep.
So I said yes, and they were some little glass tile necklaces. So, yes, I made all of those thinking that no one would really want them, and she sold them all. So
wow.
That was nice. And from there I thought, well, perhaps maybe I could have a little Etsy shop of my own. Mm. So I opened my Etsy shop, and, so that's kind of where it started, that the creative journey for H2OWN started.
I'm really kind of happy you brought up the whole "you weren't creative as a child" thing, because that was totally me too.
Like, was it really?
I just had my nose in a book, or yeah, I was outside running around. Like, I was not crafty at all.
No, because I'm not neat, and I'm not.
No,
it's like totally messy, and I don't know. Craft back then was like do it properly and do it neatly. Mm. And that's interesting to hear. I would have thought that you would have always been tinkering.
There you go. No, the first time I really discovered I liked making stuff was in manual arts in high school.
Ah,
which I
yes.
guess the US people might call shop class.
I loved that too. It was great. And especially being girls back then, you know, like in manual arts. Well, I went to a Catholic school, and we were allowed to do like a term of manual arts and a term of technical drawing. And I really enjoyed those things. But we then had to do home ec and stuff, and you weren't allowed to revisit it really. But
it's so funny because, like, I loved, like, we made stuff out of metal and wood and I really enjoyed that. And I hated home ec. I hated sewing. Like, I still hate sewing because the fabric just moves and it's really, like, I like solid things that I can cut.
Me too.
I
think that's just magic. I don't understand sewing. I think it's like metaphysical. I don't know how people just make clothes. It's just, I take my hat off.
I know,
totally.
Me too.
I love manual arts too. My manual arts teacher was Mr. Landemann, and he was fantastic, and he was German. And to this day, I still think that a bevel edge is a pebble edge because he used to always say the bevel edge. And I'd be like, right,
that's awesome.
Got it.
So there you go. You've just kind of, you know, come to a point where you started making stuff and it just kind of happened. So when did you open your Etsy shop?
It will be on there somewhere on the Etsy shop. I think it was 2000 and it would have been 2009 because that's when Clemmie was born.
Yep.
So it would have been in that year or whatever, maybe a little bit later. But cool. So, and of course, You know, I was so terrified the day that my shop went live. I was like, oh my God. Because, you know, I was thinking, oh my God, the whole world is going to see what I do. And of course, as you would know, nobody sees your Etsy shop unless you were actually driving people there through social media and everything. So, yeah, there's no need to ever feel like you can't open your shop because it's not perfect.
Oh, yes.
Because no one's really going to see it until you start driving people there. So, but it's still scary pressing that button and letting the world see, you know, that this is what you're doing now. And it was slow to start with. My first Etsy sale actually was a lady in Strathpine in Brisbane. And her parcel went missing.
Oh, no. Oh, my God, what a horrible start.
It was a baptism of fire, but... she's now still one of my best customers. We've established this really lovely long relationship. But, yeah, it was, that was my first sale. I'll always remember it because of that. But, yeah, good stuff. It was exciting. So, yeah, opening the shop was, as Emma, my friend Emma from M Splendid says, not quite as exciting as that first time you hear the cha-ching.
Yes, the cha-ching is awesome.
I don't even think they had cha-ching.
No, they did not. No, we did not have cha-chings for the first few years of our businesses, that's for sure. It's very, very fun. But, yeah, and I think what you said there about, you know, nobody's watching you, that's the time to make mistakes and just try stuff because, no one's really paying attention yet. And that's when it's time to, give stuff a go.
Absolutely. And that's the other thing about creative journeys and why sometimes it's a little bit hard to be a creative sort of person is that often you want things to be perfect and you want things to be, you know, exactly how you imagine them in your head. But you've just got to put things out there and have a go. You've got to be brave enough to just start things and try not to overthink it too much and let it grow organically so that you give all of your ideas some breath and all of your ideas a little bit of space to, because you know, doing things wrong, you're gonna make heaps of mistakes. So if you're not going to do stuff because you're going to make mistakes, you're just not going to go anywhere.
It's true, absolutely true. I know there's a reason I brought you on this show. So much wisdom.
Because I talk so much.
No, because you have. Well, yes, but
you're gonna have to do a heap of editing, lady.
No, I'm not. It's all here for everybody to listen to.
Yeah,
it's raw beauty.
Exactly.
So let's move on. So you've mentioned a few challenges. What would you say has been the biggest challenge you've overcome so far in your business?
Look, there's a lot of challenges, and most of them haven't been overcome yet. But overcome. I can't even go down on myself sometimes. I can't think of stuff like that. I find the most challenging thing, and I kind of battle with it every day, and sometimes I really do push through fine and other days I don't, but is just that whole internal dialogue of you're not good enough, you're not as good as that person, you know, you have to try harder. That's, you know, all that negative speak that we tend to do to each other, ourselves as creative people. I find that really challenging, and I've made a little bit of a breakthrough with that in that I now have a body of work that I can kind of look back on and prove myself wrong and say, no, you're wrong. Like, look, you did actually do something that worked out. You don't need to speak to yourself that way in relating to your creative process. But the other thing that, I mean, another challenge that I've had is technology, as you know, as I'm sitting here doing this podcast in a pair of children's headphones because I bought the wrong ones. She told me I had to get headphones. And Jess, if any of you have ever seen me, I've got a gigantic head, so it's not panning out very well. It's hanging off my head. But technology is hard for me. So one thing, and a lot of things are hard for me, that I've found, now this is probably a silly thing to say in a way, but I've found that if I can't do something, I need to source someone that can help me with that. And I need to, like, say, for example, if you're not good at bookwork, then and it's taking up a lot of your creative time, then you probably need to find somebody that can help you with that.
Yeah.
Or if you don't have a website and you don't know where to start, then you need to find someone that'll help you. And I think that if you could, you lose all the time that you want to spend making if you're constantly worrying about that stuff in your business. So I think letting go, letting little jobs go, paying other people to help you, that's a way of overcoming a lot of problems. That's outsourcing is a really important thing, and knowing when to outsource and knowing, you know, when you can do things yourself and letting go. Because I find that I'm really good at just saying, look, I can't do this, I'm part of it, and, yeah, finding someone. Is that kind of what...
Yeah, I think that's actually a strength, because a lot of people have a lot of trouble letting go.
Yeah.
I know I do.
Yeah. You know, you're talented, though. You've got lots of fingers in pies. You know how to do stuff.
I do, but at the same time, just because you know how to do something doesn't mean you're necessarily the best person to do it.
For it. Yeah, that's true.
And you reach a point, you know, if you're going to grow your business, you will reach a point where you just can't do it all yourself, and you have to let go of something.
Absolutely, or you're going to lose sight of why you started doing it in the first place, and that's, you know, losing connection with that creativity is really, it gets a lot of people down in creative businesses, because you're just like, oh, you know, invoices, oh, you know, I'm drowning in paper when I just want to sit down and make something and do something new. And so I think giving yourself and being confident enough in yourself at a certain point to see, that's another thing. I think that there's a point where it stops being a hobby and it looks like it might be a job.
Yes.
And you've got to, it's a fine balancing act there, where you've got to make the commitment to then, whether it's financial or whatever, just pushing on through that. That's a hard thing to do.
Yes, it is.
Knowing how far you can grow, because I'm not good at that. I'm not very good at sort of, I see other people doing amazing things, and I'm always like, oh, how do they do that? Like, just getting yourself to that level. But I don't know, it takes time, I guess.
It does take time. And I think another important thing, is something I always try to tell my students and community, is you don't have to, your business doesn't have to look like anybody else's.
No.
And you don't have to get big, you know, or you don't have to reach, you know, those particular heights if you don't want to. Like, it's okay to just stay small, and it's okay to just do what you're comfortable with, obviously, as long as you're achieving the goals you want to achieve, not just because you're too scared to do it, because that's a different
story. That is entirely, and that's a really, I mean, that's in business generally, that's good advice, and it's, but particularly in creative journeys, that's great advice, because if you are, and I tend to look at people around me and think, I've got to run with the pack, you know, I've got to get better at this, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. And I know that, you know, I find that I would some days just like to say, you know what, I'm really happy at the volume that I'm getting now, and I'm really happy with the amount of time that I'm getting to make stuff now. And if I push it further at the moment, it's going to, you know, keel over somewhere. It's not going to work. But that could just be scared too, because I live in that place as well.
So. Yeah, and it's a hard thing to, you know, you have to be very honest with yourself, which can be hard at times to decide, you know, what it is that's holding you back.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it might just be the right place for you now to stop and just be happy, and you can push on later. It's not like I said, right, well, I'm growing to this amount and I'm never going any further. Like, it's totally up to you when you own your own business what you're doing. So
exactly. As my friend Karen Gunton says, it's not a tattoo. You can change your mind.
Yes. You can always, always change your mind. That's the lovely thing about life. It's good.
It is good. So, speaking of good things, what would you say has been the biggest fist pump moment, as I say, like successful moment for you so far? Something that really stands out.
I never let myself have these things.
Well, you're going to have one now.
Okay, all right. So I think that I was really excited when it was little, and probably not many people saw it, but I was really excited when I got a piece in a Frankie shoot.
Oh, cool.
Once that was really good. Frankie's beautiful, and it's that was really lovely time. There's been so many little ones, and we've been quite big. I mean, I'm always fist pump when, well, actually, somebody said the other day, you know, what drives you creatively? And I always say, well, in creative business or any business, overdrafts are great to drive you, because paying off the laser cutter was probably my real fist pump.
Yes.
Because I look at the business is sometimes a bit of a game, and I know that sounds sort of silly, but I understand. Love the moments where it feels like you're playing a computer game,
yep.
and you've got to the next level and you go, yes. And it was kind of very scary to go to the bank and ask the bank for money to buy a big machine that I didn't know how to use at all, and sort of that was scary. But I'd grown up in small business. My dad's a great he's a good sounding board for me, and he's always said, got to spend money to make money,
yeah.
and you'll be right, just make a decision. As long as you work hard enough, doesn't matter if it doesn't work out, you know, just you'll be right if you work hard enough. So that was great, the day that the balance on that overdraft was zero and I could just go, yes. And I'd done it through selling my own product that I had made with my own hands and my own machines and out of my head.
Yep.
That was there. I'd say that'd have to be it, even though it sounds daggy saying, oh, we paid the overdraft.
No, I think it sounds awesome. And I love your gamification there.
Yes.
That's, you know, it should be fun, and it should be, there should be that, I think, that feeling of achievement, like you get in a computer game or something like that,
yeah,
when you achieve something.
Satisfaction, yeah, when, yeah. you know, you eat a ghost and it makes a noise and you go to the next level. But it's always been like that. No matter what I've ever worked in, I've always, it's like waitressing, I love that because it was like, get all the bits right and you'll go to the next level.
Yep.
So it was always, yeah, that was a really good moment. But there's been so many lovely little moments where you're just like, oh, really? Oh, cool. Like you guys like me.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's you know, probably all of those little ones, magazines and blogs and people, any little blog, any big magazine, doesn't matter. People taking the time to say something nice about you or expose you is lovely, which is what I'm nobody much, but I always really like to, if you genuinely find something that you love, you must always share it with other people. And I think that's a great way to, well, look, it's a great way to just find support and find friends in the community that we're in, is the crafting sort of maker designer community. But it's also really good for your business. Not that you ever expect anything back. You must never expect anything back. But if you just keep pushing out and going, this is great, look at this, at least that one person might look at you and go, oh, that's nice, and they might, you know, follow you or buy something off you. But, yeah, it's sort of that always making sure that you do, that you can make someone feel, if so, I could make somebody feel as nice as it felt that day when I was at the news agency and I opened the Frankie magazine and our pair of earrings was in a shoot. Like, if you can ever make somebody feel that good, you should always take that opportunity.
Absolutely. It kind of reminds me of that old starfish parable. Do you know the one where the kids walk along the beach?
No, tell me.
Oh, so it's the parable where I think it's a kid or a young man walking along the beach and there's starfish stranded on the beach for as far as you can see, and he's picking them up and throwing them back in. And some other dude comes along and says, "What? You know, why are you bothering? You're never going to be able to put them all back in." And then he throws another one in and said, "Well, I made a difference to that one."
Yeah, that's lovely. It is. I mean, just this morning, like it doesn't matter whether you've got one follower on Instagram or 100,000. It's just, we all get really, really caught up in brand creation these days and really driving our own brand. And you've got to do that to, you know, if you're making a living out of it.
Yeah.
But it's also really important to remember to just go, if you see something and you just think, that's tops, I really would love to other people to know about that. And it's not about what am I going to get out of this.
No.
It's about creating an authentic brand where you are part of it. And, you know, it's always like, it's like anything, when you send a parcel out, you know, always just, I always go for that letterbox appeal where someone's going to open their letterbox and there's a lovely little carton there, you know, that's got some washi tape, a little thank you sticker or something that you just go, the person who is this brand cares, you know, like a handwritten note or whatever,
yes.
just to say a little present that they weren't expecting, just to be able to say, this person, there's a connection there with that product and this person actually cares, not about, you know, just chucking it in a bag and sending it off with nothing, because that's always really sad. But yeah, like, always do other things to make other people feel special.
Yeah, I agree. And I think I think that's a lovely thing about our business as opposed to any other sort of business or big business or whatever, is that you can have that personal connection to your community but also to your customer. And I know that the harder I've worked to create a personal connection with my customers, the happier they've been and the better it's been for my business. So it's
absolutely, it leads to repeat business, which is, you know, what you really, really want. And I mean, you do wedding stuff and I do a bit of wedding stuff, and there's nothing nicer than someone saying, you know, this made my day.
Yeah.
This just, it not made my day, but went towards making a real, yeah, that's right. Oh, my husband's nice, but our earrings are fantastic.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's an honour to be part of something like that.
It really, really is an honour to be, and just anybody writing and just saying, you know, I was feeling sad, I went to the letterbox, there they were, great, makes me feel good. And I think it's important.
Definitely. So I would say the answer probably is yes to this, because it says yes for everyone. But do you ever have doubts as to kind of your future creative directions?
Like, yes.
There are things you want to achieve but haven't found the time for yet.
Yes. Absolutely. Every single day, every single night. Nights are worse than days. But, yeah, totally. And, I mean, we're just taking another big leap at the moment. Yes. Our house went on the market yesterday and we're moving down to the Northern Rivers, and I'm going to set up a studio. And all of these little doubts are sort of coming in, and I'm, like, every now and again saying to my husband, you know, if it doesn't work, if H2O doesn't work out, it's fine. You know, like, I would, honestly, you know, I'm happy to go and work at Coles. I'd love to be a checkout chick. And I would, because, I mean, get to talk to people all day long. I'd be in my element. I'm so happy. And go, beep, beep. I've always wanted to do that. But, you know, I'm making excuses already that I can back out the back door if it doesn't work out, because it's a huge, and Richard says, no, you're not doing that, because we're doing this for your business and we're doing this for our family and your business, and it is something that you can do from a farm in the middle of nowhere, what I do. So, and post it out. And so, yeah, I'm already making excuses for myself if it doesn't work out, because I just don't – I have a lot of self-doubt when it comes to making things, and you know, some of it comes from a place that's real. Other things, I just make it up to give myself stress, I think. But, you know, a lot of the time, you know, I'll make something and I'll think, oh my God, that is fantastic. I'm going to wear it to school drop off. I love it. And nobody buys it. And you're just like, oh, okay, I'm completely wrong with that then. And something else that you just think, oh, that'll be a cute, quick little thing, and it becomes your best seller. Like, I'm not good at gauging. So I kind of often do sort of think that I just worry that, you know, it's not going to last forever, and it's been so lovely and I've met so many beautiful people and I've just had such a good run. And you know, we've worked bloody hard, but
yes.
I just do, yeah. I constantly doubt where it's going and whether it will last, and but, you know.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of people listening to this, that will be a really huge relief for them to hear that someone with your level of success still has doubts. Like, I think people think that once they look at people like us who have some modicum of success, whatever that means, and think we've got it all sorted out and that we're all on top of everything and we know everything and we're 100% confident in ourselves all the time. And it's not true.
No. God, no. No, not anywhere near true with me. No. And it's something that, I mean, you can't let that stop you from doing things. I'm lucky that I don't know, I seem to be a kind of a mishmash of, like, you know, I have these moments where I'm like, oh, good on me. And then it's like, what are you saying? Shut up, get back to work. So, yeah, I don't know. Self-doubt's a terrible thing. And we live in an age where you can read a book or you can look it up and everyone will try and help you. And there's probably ways to not be that way. But It's hard. It's hard. And usually creative people tend to be a little bit more, you know, insecure, sensitive to things. I think that you've probably just got to turn those things around and try and let them, you know, be quiet and let the things that feel good be a bit louder in your head.
Absolutely. And, you know, human beings, we've evolved to focus on the negative because that keeps us alive, you know.
Yes.
that's why it happens, and it really is something, it's a learned behaviour to focus on the positive.
Yes. I think. And if you weren't necessarily brought up with that, it's a hard thing to do.
Exactly.
And, you know, in our generation, you know, in the 70s and 80s, it was kind of just get on with things a lot of the time. It wasn't so much you're fantastic and you're doing a great job.
No, it's definitely different to what kids get told these days.
Which is lovely and it's good. And there's going to be a generation of really wonderful people that are going to be able to do amazing things. And, yeah, I hope that my little boy is one of those.
Speaking of your little boy, the lovely Clem, how do you balance being a stupid term, but you know what I'm saying, your work with the rest of your life? Like, what does a typical day look like for you?
Oh, a day. I always say the day always starts with looking for clothes. We look for clothes. We look for clean clothes. We look through the dirty clothes for clean clothes. We look for school clothes, for work clothes. We don't know. Clothes. But, yeah, we're pretty disorganized. And actually, that's not true. I am really disorganized. My husband isn't. But, yeah, it basically is just getting Clemmy off to school and then just going hell for leather until 2:30, and then going to pick Clem up and say, can I play with my friends? And I say, no, we have to go to the post office. And he's like, oh, not the post office. The post office is the bane of his existence. So then we go to the post office and we post, and then I cook tea, and then we get him off to bed, and then I go back to work. And Richie comes and helps me if we're busy. So it's really, a lot of hard work. But, you know, I don't believe in work-life balance. Mm-hmm. I just believe that work is your life and life is your work, and you just keep trying to, God knows what it'd be like. If I had more than one kid, people would be saying, oh, listen to her with her, got one kid. But I'm an old lady. I had that kid old. So, you know, I'm very challenged. There's not much energy going on. But, yeah, it's not about balancing anything. It's just about getting through in our household and making sure that you try not to forget people's birthdays and important things. And just, we have a lot of fun. We're fine. We just keep trying to get things done.
Having a lot of fun.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun. There's a lot of crying and screaming, and it's just, some days it's just, it's like some sort of, I was going to say Hieronymus Bosch painting, but that would be awful. That's not true. It's something that is very chaotic. I can't think. It's just, wailing. It's like Dante's Inferno. It's like something like that, and then, you know, some sort of like hysterical Saturday Night Live gig. Our life is just all over the place. I have so many beautiful people in my life that just gently, you know, sort of say, did you know it was gold coin donation at school tomorrow? It's sort of like they pick the weak one in the pack and help it along.
I can kind of relate to that because, like, while I might be great at my business and keeping all that afloat, the rest of the things I'm not so good at. I'm the sort of person who, like, if Nick goes away for a day, I'll forget to eat because I'll just be distracted by things.
To forget to eat. I don't like people like you. How do you forget to eat?
Well,
I forget not to eat. I forget to not eat. I eat constantly.
But, like, and then I'll just, like, I'll leave stuff. I'll be doing stuff, and then I'll get distracted and leave it there. And then the house, like, if he's away for a couple of days, it'll look like a bomb's gone off. Yes. And then I have to, like, rush around cleaning up because I don't want him to come home to a messy house.
Yes. Well, I put my faith in the fact that my husband loves me. I don't even like the rushing around. I just look at him with this face going, oh, I've got 17 orders. He kind of understands. But, there's a lot of pressure these days, particularly for women. I find I was just on Instagram the other day, and I think it was Chief and Cupie, God love her. She put up something about, you know, this is not the real me.
Yeah.
And her photos are beautiful and her children are gorgeous and she's gorgeous and her work is gorgeous. And, yeah, it's just like, just to remind you, this is not the real me. And yeah. we all, I mean, I don't blame Instagram or anything for that, because I think it's beautiful to look at beautiful images. I love Instagram and I love the connections that I've made through Instagram. But I can understand that there would be this pressure to think that people are on top of stuff and have beautiful homes. And I always try to manage to sort of say, you know, this is one, I love, people say, I love your house. It's like, this is one corner of my house. The rest of it, it is covered in clothes, and there's a dog wandering and sleeping in those clothes that hasn't been washed for 6 months. Like, there is just utter chaos other than this small little corner of my home. But I wanted to show you that because it's pretty and it looks nice.
Yeah.
You might think that too, but it just sort of, we are putting a lot of pressure on ourselves to, I think, brand even our daily lives. And I can understand that that messes with your head.
Yeah.
But yeah. And that's like, you know, we were, that another little fist pump. That was really nice being in Frankie Spaces magazine for our family this year. That was really nice to actually, you know, for somebody to want to come and see our home and be interested and actually have a documentation of a home that we are leaving behind, which is great. But the other thing is, was we cleaned up for 4 weeks. Like, seriously, we had to throw out most of the things we owned, because you would think it was an episode of Extreme Hoarders that they'd come to photograph.
Well, that makes it easier to pack when you move, right?
It is. It was great. We really will always thank Frankie Magazine for that opportunity for many reasons, but mostly because we cleaned up our house for the first time in 6 years. So,
so I think the takeaway lesson here is, don't, like, that there's that tension between the branding we put out to the world and the reality behind it, and that the people, there's that saying, you know, don't compare your inside to someone else's outside, because we're all messy inside, and that's just human nature.
Yes yeah,
definitely.
And there's just, and you're only in for a world of pain if you try and compare yourself to other people. It's a world of pain.
I agree with you. I think it's something to not do.
Yes, if you can manage it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. So now, you mentioned Instagram.
Yes.
What would you say has been the best marketing move you've made for your business?
It would. I can tell you probably what the one that wasn't.
Sure.
I recently sent, I mean, it was useful in the end. It just that I had higher expectations of what it was. But I sent out a pair of earrings to 100 retailers across Australia.
Wow.
Businesses that I really liked. I didn't do my research properly. So a lot of them didn't get taken up, because I don't think I did my research properly, or what my brand wasn't right for them. But that was a huge undertaking, and it didn't get a lot of a response. So I would say that's probably, I wouldn't not do it again. I would just do it different. But yeah, going back to Instagram and social media, I just think it's really important to back up with social media, everything that you do with social media, because not only I enjoy social media, I like being there. I have made two of the best friends that I've ever had in my life on Instagram. And we get to see each other in real life too now these days, which is nice, but we didn't know each other. And I think it's really important just to be, if you're not authentic, as authentic as you can possibly be, it's just not going to work. I think people can always sniff a rat these days. If you just appear on the scene and you're just, you know, perfectly packaged and there's nothing, you know, everything's brand driven into people's faces, you might get all the success in the world and you probably work really hard and you deserve it. But I think it's really important to, with marketing, just to be authentic. Don't really, really know who you are and your product and know that well before you start pushing anything to people, because it's just, it'll, you know, it might work, I don't know, but I don't feel it would work for me. I think it's always really important, you know, to be who you are. And that is my marketing advice. Just be, just know yourself, and just know on your social media that you're always just going to the warts and all. Not necessarily has to be ugly, but you know, just be who you are and put forward the nice things. And you don't need to sort of tell people about the bad things. And that's not cloaking, you know, authenticity. But you just, you know, just make it nice for people.
Yeah.
You make things nice for people, you know, it's going to be nice. My dad always says, you catch more flies with honey than shit. So you're always going to, if you just make things, you know, as honest and enjoyable as you can in, because, I mean, like really when we're talking about marketing, I don't really know anything about marketing. So, yeah, that would be just be know your product. Know your product. There you go.
Yes.
The Saints, they said it. They said it first. Know your product.
Know your product and but tell, know you. Tell the story.
Know your product and know your story. And then just, you know, stick to it. It's honest then.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's really good.
Oh, good, because I'm flying by the seat of my pants. I don't even have a clue what I'm saying. So I'm glad you like it.
That's because you've got just innate wisdom.
Or the gift of the gab. Yes,
that too. Innate. We've had
but
many
I'm going
long
for
conversations.
Wisdom. I'm taking the innate wisdom. Thank you very much.
Excellent. So, speaking of wisdom,
yes,
here's one for you. Okay. What's one piece of advice you'd like to give fellow makers about running a successful creative business? Just to put you on the spot.
Oh, well, I've probably already said it before, but I would say get a bookkeeper if you start making money, because I always think that will keep you out of jail, and that's important. That's important for any life journey, is to stay out of jail. But no, just I think I've already said it. Recognize where the little holes, the pitfalls are, where you're going to get stuck. Recognize those and see whether or not you can find somebody to help you with those.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to ask people for help. Mm-hmm. Because I think that it's all just going to grind to a halt if that's the case. And just try and stay on your own journey. Try and stay very closely to the why you started it and your essence that makes your designs different from other people's. Try to stay really, really close to why you're doing it in the first place. And give yourself time to don't think it's all going to be bang. These days people kind of come on the scene and it's like bang and you're like, wow, they're amazing, holy shit, they're doing in a week what it took me 3 years to do. These people are great. And you know they are. There are a lot of very, very incredible, I always think like Ella Mobbs from Creep Art, like I love Ella because she's just the perfect storm. She's just so talented and she understands technology and she just, I just look at that kid and I always think, oh, she's just, you know, amazing. But mind you, she's been around for years and she's built her business over time and all that sort of thing. But there are, you know, like I feel like a bit of an oldie and there's these young bright things and they're amazing, like bam. But, you know, if that's not your style of things, just, you know, take your time and, you know, you're not gonna land and well, if you do, you know, just you start making something 1 week and next week it's been taken up by something and you're making hundreds and you're doing really well, that's good. That's great.
It is good.
But it's not generally whatever happens really much for anybody. So
it's not to be expected.
I think it is just take your time. Take your time and just don't lose sight of the reason that you're doing it.
Definitely. That's cool. So now you've talked about, you know, your move and all that sort of stuff. Where would you say you see yourself and your business in 5 years' time?
Well, if my husband has anything to do with it, I will still be making jewelry. I could be at Coles at on the checkout. I'd be perfectly happy there. But I hope that we can still keep growing and maybe sustain the growth that's going on at the moment. Mm-hmm. It's lovely. But, you know, that's the thing about a creative journey is it just there's nobody wrote the ladder, you know, of success. Nobody wrote that where the hierarchy is, you know, you're not starting out as a clerical officer and then going to a clerical officer too, and then ending up as a project manager. There isn't a pathway that to follow. So it's really up to you whether or not it's going to keep going. And for me at the moment, look, it's good and I'm enjoying it. And there's not really, I don't want to have to go back to the shoe shop. Mm. Like, I want to keep going, doing it. But I think just got to make baby steps and keep improving. So in what, how many years did you say?
Five.
Where do I see myself in 5 years? What's that, 2000 and what, 17? No.
It's 2020.
20.
God, 2020, I know. Wow. God,
living in the past.
Yeah.
2020. Oh, look, Jess, wouldn't even know. I'm not that kind of business person. I just kind of really hope that I'm getting up in the morning and having my coffee and looking at Etsy orders and answering emails and, yeah, just hope that I'm still making things.
It sounds pretty good to me.
I don't know. I'll turn the studio into a flat. You can come and visit.
Awesome.
I'll pack it in.
You can put it on Airbnb.
Airbnb, yes, that's right. Artist studio.
Come and stay.
No, that's. I'm not being silly in answering that question. I just honestly can't answer it. I hope that it's still lovely. I hope that life is as lovely as it is most days now when it comes to my job. I'm a very lucky girl.
Yeah.
I do love it. It's great.
I think, you know, hoping life is as awesome as it is now is a good goal. That's yes. kind of my goal as well. I don't know where I'm going to be in 5 years.
No.
And that's okay.
No, none of us do. So, yeah. And I've never been goal-driven. Oh, God, goal-driven. Not goal-driven. No.
What just does happy. Drive you then?
Now that the overdraft's paid off. I just think the happiness of it. I just think the joy that I get out of making things and that's what it is. And just that autonomy,
yes.
I'd say that autonomy that comes with owning your own business that is a work from home business. I just don't want the alternative anymore. I'm just really happy doing this. And so, yeah, that's what drives me. That's what drives me. Keep thinking up new things so you can keep being happy.
That's good. I like it. And yeah, freedom is my main driver as well, and autonomy.
Yes.
And just be able to get up every morning and go, what am I going to do today? Because no one's telling me what to do and it's all up to me and I can do stuff that makes me happy. And that's, I think, we're a very, very, very lucky and very, very small percentage of the world's population who can do that. And I think it's a great honour to be able to do that.
Yeah, it totally is. It totally is. I'm so grateful every day to be able to do what I do. It's Same. Just, yeah, it's tops.
It is tops. Now, can you share a quote that inspires and motivates you?
Did you prep me for this?
I totally did.
A quote.
A quote.
Oh, well, look, I always say that, where did I hear it? I think there was this fantastic movie years and years ago, documentary about the Jacaranda princesses in Grafton, and there was this gorgeous, and it is a saying, but this is where I first heard it, this gorgeous, gorgeous old lady with like a little cup of tea, and she just said, well, what I say to the girls all the time is it's nice to be important, but it's important to be nice.
Aww.
And I just think that's, if you sit with that in mind going through life, you know, it's not nice, nice, nice. It doesn't get much of a good rap, but, you know, it is. It's just really important to be nice. Then every now and again, if you get to be important, well, that's nice too.
I love that. That's actually really nice. Nice.
Nice. Well, there it is again.
I think that's a good place to wrap up.
Okay.
Before we do go, what's the best place for people to find out more about you and Each to Own?
Well, you can go to Instagram. That's probably where I live. That's where I am the most. My husband will attest to that. So I'm just at Each2Own, EACHTOOWN, which looks like Each Town when you read it.
With two O's,
which is
what
my friend, Patience, always thought my company was called before she knew me. Each Town. That's a great name. So, no, it's not. It's Each2Own. Put
can
the extra
ask?
O in.
I just totally remember. Where did that come from? I've meant to ask you before.
Oh, You know, I often struggle with, you see people change the name of their company sometimes, and I'm like, oh, you're so brave, because I wouldn't be able to, because I just worry about you lose people when you do it. But it came from really originally just all these little bits and bobs that I was finding and gluing together. It was about each of them being able to go and be owned by somebody. So each of them was to be owned, and my prices were really cheap, and I still try to keep my prices, you know, decent for what they are. And yeah, I just want each of them to be owned. I want each of them to be loved and to be owned. So each to own.
Oh, that's really nice.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
good.
It is.
I'm glad. Some days I'm like,
yes, it is,
why
Kirsten.
Did you call that?
I think it's cool.
Better if it was something else.
No, it's nice. It's nice.
Thank you, Jess. So, you're a nice, positive person.
Oh,
thank you.
That's
nice. You're so nice.
Oh. Thank you, darling. So each to own on Instagram, and obviously your website as well.
Yes, yes, yes. Website to be updated in the new year.
Oh, exciting.
For the first time ever.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Oh, I know. Nice. May even get some new photos on there. Hey.
I'll have to check it out. That'll be fun. Well, I will put all of these links in the show notes of this episode for everybody not listening to this from the website. You can go check it out. So thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Okay,
I think,
darling,
it's been a lovely, lovely chat, and lots of wisdom. Your innate wisdom has shined through.
Woody, that's good. I'll be interested to listen to it myself.
Yeah, you can listen to your own advice. There you go.
See if anything rubs off.
Thanks so much, Kirsten.
Okay, darling girl. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed that, guys. I hope you're walking away feeling just happy and inspired, and like you're part of a community of people. And then we all have our successes and challenges, and it's nice to hear from people who have been doing this for a long time, and you know, the things that, the successes they've had and the challenges they have had and still have. If you enjoyed this episode or any episode of the podcast, I would love it if you would give us a review over on iTunes. It's really awesome to hear what you think of the podcast, and it also helps other people to find the podcast who might find it useful. So if you could do that, that would be amazing. Thank you so much. And I hope that you'll be with me next week for another episode. And it's great to be here. As always, it's an honor to be able to help you and be here with you, and that you're here listening to me and trusting me to give you good information and good advice. So thank you for that. Thank you for your trust, and it means a lot to me. I think that's about wraps it up for this week. It's been a long one. So thank you again. I'm Jess Van Den. This has been the Create and Thrive podcast. And you know what time it is. It is time to get out there and create and thrive. Thanks so much for listening, and bye for now.